You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Serve a good God. Amen. Hello. Hello. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, I'll get Trevor in a minute, but I might just share just quickly this morning. Is that all right, Trev? I'll just share the word with you this morning, and I just really sense this year just... How many are you excited about 2017? You know, we had our personal communion last Sunday, and I know it's an old tradition that we used to do in the previous administration, but it's just a wonderful time because we get to share with you and you get to share with us personally. And next year, I mean, we had four stations here last Sunday night, is that right? And I noticed that, you know, people really just love being able to share how the year has been and what they're believing for this year. And, you know, we saw God just prophetically begin to speak into the lives of people. And we just started to see victory in so many people's lives, you know, just from that, you know, very, very intimate moment of just coming before communion. And it's just really exciting. I'm really excited this year. And just some of the things also that the Lord has spoken over our church of what he's going to do. And I hope you're ready for blessings this year. I think five of you are. I hope you're ready for God to prosper you this year. How many of you are ready? How many of you are ready for God to shower over your life this year? Amen. 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 Breakthroughs. Amen. And I was staggered to see how many people struggled in 2016 and went through some hard times. How many went through some hard times in 2016? You know, and for some people, it was really, really, really tough. And it was just, it must have been a hard place for a lot of people. And the more we listen to people, the more we discovered that. And, you know, so I'm excited for 2017 because I really do believe that not only is this a year of breakthrough, next week I'm going to be sharing about Vision Sunday and where I believe the Lord is wanting to take us in 2017. But God spoke on last Sunday night, really prophetically. And what was really very clear that God really wants to shower blessings on you this year. I just really sense, you know, there's reward that's going to be taking place. And I just believe in my heart that as we continue to become the conduit of God's blessing and we honor the Lord in everything that we do, you know, in with our family, with our time, with our treasure, with our talent, I believe we're going to see a great harvest this year. Amen? How many of you believe that? I'm believing that. I'm believing that for your life and breakthrough. And are you going to hear... you know, God, you know, break the power of Satan and oppression and sickness in people's lives more and more. So get ready for that. And all you know, just early in this year, we're already seeing some great breakthroughs. And I know Hans, amazing breakthrough. And he shared about the breakthrough from cancer recently and how the doctor said to him, it's the miracle you've been waiting for. And that's the Lord. The Lord has done that. And you know, amen? Amen? Oh, you can clap better than that. I mean, someone got healed of cancer, folks. And you know, over the years as a church, and those of you that have been with me for a long time know that every time that God has healed just about every disease that we have seen in this church, you know, it's just amazing, isn't it? Amen? God is so good. And I know Ellie, you had a big tumor when you came here, and Eleanor, and God healed you the first time, and she wasn't even saved then. You know, it's just awesome what God is doing. And I know that Hans and Gwen, you're going to be away from next week for like about a month, ministering already. Isn't that great? They're going to be going to the U.K., and ministering and preaching the world, all right? You can't hold this guy down. That's why Satan wanted you sick, because you won't stop preaching. All right, would you stand? We just want to pray for you guys. You know, And just stretch out your hand to them. Father, we speak your blessing over Hanson and Gwen for the testimony that they are. And the many lives that are yet to be blessed. And for the new harvest. And I just really sense a new harvest that the Lord is preparing for you. It's the kind of harvest that you have not seen before, says the Lord. But it's the kind of harvest that will bring delight to your heart in this season, says God. So, Father, I pray for an overwhelming, an overpowering sense of joy upon them, and that will be flowing into other people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen. And I know that our good friend George has just come back for 2 weeks. I didn't see him before Christmas. He says hello to me and Pastor, I'm going to be away for a month. You know, and are you ministering or are you holidaying? You're half-half, right? And I know that Graham and Otter are going with you. Is that right? And Rosemary, would you stand? You're going to be away for a month too. Stand up. They're going to be ministering in Malaysia and Vietnam and all those places. Isn't it awesome? Our guys in their senior years are doing amazing things in God. Now, I can't get them to help me, but they're doing something. But stretch out your hand. Father, I just speak your blessing over them and your protection. And God, I just release your anointing upon them as it would minister in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Today, I'm going to give you a snapshot of what I'm going to talk about. Not next week, but following next week. And I want to spend about a month with you on this subject matter. And I'm kind of sort of just started to kind of just put this together recently. And I was really staggered on how good God really is. Right? You might say, well, you've known God for a long time, Pastor. You preach about the goodness of God. You know, what are you talking about? Did you realize that the goodness of God is not about you? The goodness of God is not about you having a good life. It's not about you experiencing blessing, even though God wants all of that. But most of the time that we have this issue about the goodness of God and the blessing of God is because we have defined for ourselves what is good and what is bad. God's definition of good and bad is really different to the way we define good and bad. Do you realize that? In God, there's nothing bad. And that everything that's produced from the kingdom of God, regardless of the circumstance, is actually, in God's perspective, good. Come on, somebody say good. We serve a good Father. Amen. We serve a good God. How many have had a really, really bad situation or see a bad situation and you say, how could a bad situation like that? And you already have worked out for yourself about the situation a week later, 2 weeks, a year later, because of that choice, things are going to get bad. How many of you have kind of think like that? No, none of you. I do. Right? I see something, I'm thinking, my God, that is so stupid. And I see myself make stupid mistakes, and I already preempt for myself the repercussions of those bad choices, right? Who knows what I'm talking about? And you're trapped in self-condemnation, in judging yourself and judging others, because our definition for good and bad are so locked in to our own paradigm, our own worldview, or what we think should be good for me or for others, and we're kind of locked into that. Our own kind of self-righteousness, right? Our own kind of self, you know, improvement in God, and our journey now becomes the filter of how everybody's journey is, you know, ought to be. You know, how many of you have had wonderful, amazing things that God did for you? Just lift your hand. God did. Let me just say to you, great stuff. And there's more to come. Can I just say to you, that's not doctrine. You can't preach out of that as truth for everybody else. The biggest problem for judgmentalism is that well-meaning Christians who have had experiences with God, and they use that experience as doctrine, as gospel, when it's actually not gospel. Because you could experience something good, but your neighbor could be experiencing something bad, but God is still good. It doesn't change the gospel. And so we do something, we put formulas and how we've achieved something amazing or God did something for us. And we say, well, I did this, and if you did this, and you did that, God's going to bless you like He's blessed me. But you know what I found? Breakthrough might be the same, but the process is so different for every person. And so many of you have life stories. Every single one of you represent an amazing story. And I think about the story of my life, the story of my parents, and my mother's got one of the most amazing stories that you'll ever hear. It's just amazing. If I could tell you, you'll cry when you hear some of this stuff. But you know what I love about my mom? She just keeps moving on in life, and all she thinks about is building a life center for the community where our church is. You see, your life, whether it's good or bad, is meant to be poured out for somebody else.
That's right.
It's not meant to be the showcase. So, what's this all about? This year, one of my goals is to really bring our church and our families and ourselves closer to the loving arms of the Heavenly Father. And that's not some kind of, you know, sort of soppy stuff, but really having a revelation of God in a way that revolutionizes your relationship with Him and your perspective of life, because as a result of the perception that you have with God. And every single one here have a different perception of God. We kind of sort of see Him in part and know Him in part. And we kind of use our life experiences in so many ways to define who God is. For some people who have had bad experiences with their earthly father, they kind of tend to filter their relationship with the Heavenly Father through that in a very simplistic way. Not everybody, but in a simplistic way, we tend to do that even at a kind of subconscious level. Who knows what I'm talking about, right? Our experiences, you know, with people tend to kind of stain or mar our understanding of God. Christians, how many Christians do you know have been hurt by the church and refuse to go back to church because the church or leadership or another Christian has hurt them? Have you met them? Right? They say to me, "You, I don't want to go back to church. It's filled with hypocrites and all that stuff." And I'm thinking to myself, yes, but the church belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the head. You can't love the head and not the body. I saw my wife walked in one day and she was so beautiful. But I knew if I loved her, I got to love the head and the body. And it was a good body. Too much? All right. Okay. Come on, guys, you're adults in here. We've already sent the kids out. Sorry, babe. Might have to pay for that later, but it's okay. Come on, we want to fragment the body of Christ just by our non-support of it. How do I do that? Because you matter to God and you matter to others. And you have gifts and talents that will benefit somebody. You are built to be a blessing. And when you dismember yourself, because we've been hurt, guess what happens? We rob others of the blessing that we could be for them. So today, and in February, mostly in February, I'm going to talk to you about God's loving kindness. Now, if I ask you this question, how many of you understand what God's loving kindness is? And most Christians would like to think that they do. But if I ask you, what do you think is your definition? The more I read the Bible about this, the more I realize that the Bible has so many definitions about the grace of God, the love of God, and all this stuff. And smack bang in the middle of this, there's this thing called God's loving kindness. Let me throw some scriptures to you this morning so you know what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 says, so in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his loving kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? It's saying the loving kindness, there's something that's loving kindness on earth. There's also loving kindness beyond the earth. Now, the first instance of loving kindness where it was mentioned in the Bible primarily is in the book of Exodus. I'm trying to look where I've written it down. Just be... be patient with me. In Exodus, when Moses, I think it's 36 when or 34, when Moses asked the Lord for God to pass his glory or to see his glory, and God caused his goodness to pass through. He says, you're going to experience my goodness, not his glory, but his goodness. Now, this is the problem with most people. They want God's glory, but God wants to give you his goodness. We don't touch the glory of God, the goodness of God. And the loving kindness of God and the goodness of God are almost interchangeable in the Word of God. Another word for that is hesed in the Hebrew, which is mercy, the loving kindness of God. So, if I ask most Christians, you know, they recognize a few things about this. First of all, they look at the loving kindness of God as the grace of God. Would you? How many of you would think it's the grace of God? Any other words that come to your mind about the loving kindness of God? When I say to you, what is the loving kindness of God? What words come to mind to you?
Peace.
Peace. Mercy. Grace. Favor. Anything else? Now, here's a problem with all those words. All those words are actually true, and they do represent, to some extent, the spectrum of the loving kindness of God. Now, the problem with all those words is that they're not necessarily tangible. Grace really is kind of difficult to define. We kind of just see the effects of grace. Are you with me? Or the effects of peace, and et cetera, et cetera. But the loving kindness of God by its own definition in the Bible, this is my definition from my reading of the Bible, and I discovered what it is. It is the, I better read it because, what the loving kindness of God is this. All right, check it out. It's the love and the grace of God and his mercy and its abundance manifested through the natural occurrences of our lives. It is the grace, the love, the mercy, and the abundance of the goodness of God manifested through what naturally occurs in our lives on the earth. What that means is this: if you want to experience the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God, he expresses that on the earth through his loving kindness. It's tangible. It's when God gives you the job that you've been looking for just before you've run out of all money and you can't feed your family. That, folks, is the loving kindness of God. It's his love manifesting itself in kindness to you. Are you with me? Right? It's tangible. It's not just an idea. It's not just, you know, something that you're believing for. It is something that is happening. It's when your family's broken down or at the verge of breaking down, and all of a sudden, by virtue of a miraculous event, you know, your family is restored. You can't necessarily put your finger on it, but God restored everything. That, folks, is the loving kindness of God. The loving kindness of God is when you are down and you are depressed and then whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, you sense this presence of God in your life that brings you out. That's the loving kindness of God. So I'm going to take you through this morning, just kind of by definition. So I just want to set this definition down. And the loving kindness of God, let me just say this really clearly. The loving kindness of God is for you so that you could be a channel of His loving kindness into others' lives. Amen? Are you there? Right. Now, as a church, as people, I want you to understand the nature of God and the kind of God we serve. Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. And when you look at the world that we're living in today, there's a lot of people who are broken and they are, they are captives by their own desire. They are captive by sin. They are captives by world philosophies and ideas. And they're captive by sickness. And guess who God mandated on the earth to set them free? His body. So next time someone, this is a church to you, just say, hey, the church is God's representative on the earth. Yeah, sure, there's people in the church, which makes the church both an incredible asset and sometimes a liability. But the reality of the body of Christ on the earth are Jesus' feet. He's no longer here, so what He left behind is His body. You know, I really always get excited whenever I hear news, and I'm hearing a lot of news today of what God is doing in so many people's lives, and I hear the goodness of God and the loving kindness of God. And just this week at the board meeting, we had a board meeting, and Robbie just shared some really amazing, an amazing story in particular about, and when I heard that, I thought, man, God wants me to talk about God's loving kindness manifested through the saints. You are God's vessels for His loving kindness. He pours His loving kindness in you so you could pour it into others' lives. Robbie, quickly come up here and tell us. He looks surprised, doesn't he? Come on up, bro. Now, Robbie had a situation at work, and he kind of addressed it, right? And I just want you to kind of share what you shared with us at the board meeting and what happened.
Praise God. Pastor, I just want to say, Jesus' healing's in the house right now.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I went to work on Monday. We had our big sales meeting, and we had our CEO from Sydney come over. I was wondering where everyone was. It started at 7. Everyone's store wasn't there, so quickly, everyone was in the cafeteria. One of our guys, he was actually sitting there, and people were giving him sympathy. His son collapsed. His son's name's Michael. Last Thursday. And he went into a coma. So I was sitting there, and me being me, I was just going, what do I do? Do I be bold or do I just be quiet? Everybody's giving sympathy, giving him flowers. And sitting there, I said, God, You changed me. You've broken me. I need to say something to him. And my CEO was sitting behind us, and he heard me speak to him. He goes, Nigel, do you mind if I pray for you? And everyone just looked at me in the room. There's about 30 people in there. And they're like, okay. Everyone started walking out. But I said to Nigel, before I can pray for you, you know, I want to give you sympathy over your son. But before I pray for you, I need to understand where you're coming from. He shared with me quickly that Michael, his son, went to Anglican youth group. But he kept on telling his parents, keep on come to church. And I said, oh yeah. And he goes, Nigel, I need to ask you a question. Do you believe in God? And he goes, yeah, we used to. Michael still wants us to come. Anyway, so I said to him, Michael, before I pray for you, Nigel, before I pray for Michael, I need to pray for you. He went quiet. This is a proud man. He's a general manager. Very business associated, very proud. He started getting teary eyes. He goes, what do you mean? I need to pray for you first before I can pray to your son. And this has bowled me because this is not me. I'm very business oriented in work, but God said to me, show your grace of love, step out. So I spoke to you. So Michael started breaking down and he shared with me things that were ancestries, past, Masonic Lodge, things that I can't talk about now, he shared with me. And I said to him, you know what? I've been there. I was that person you are. So we started praying for him. Hey, for forgiveness, pray for him. This was about 9 o'clock now because the board meeting, after the board meeting. Anyway, so he said, what do you want to do now? I said, let's pray for Michael. So we got on the phone and they put Michael's in a coma. They put earplugs around his ears. I said, our God is a God that intervenes. Our God is a God that heals. He looked at me because, oh, you know, like astonished, but he was just crying. He kept on crying. So I can't remember when I prayed over Michael. 10 o'clock, I had to go out and go do some business out and see some clients. Michael rang up the hospital. And I see how Michael was. Nigel rang up the hospital. By the grace of God, the doctors don't know today, don't even know what happened to him, how he collapsed. He woke up after we prayed. It's not by me. It's not by the grace of God. It's not by me. And I hear, we've had speakers, Doug Stanton, we have Uppy, you know, speak prophetic words of us. And I'm sharing it. And he came to me. He started crying on my desk. And I just cried too. I lost it. But if God can use me, speak words, speak life, not just come here. You know, I speak to my brother Wilson. It's not about just about face. Those days are gone. We want to see growth in your family, especially the men. I speak to the men. We want to see growth in your family. If God can use me, speak to the father, speak to Michael. Imagine what he can do with all of us and our families. You know, and I share it, and I share it with passion of heart. You know, I do, and I feel a healing. And I've never felt this way. Pastor Ted, you know. And it's like God's changed me. I had to change. The pastor's gone. You know, I can put the face, perfect church face on, hello, amen, hallelujah. But deep down, only God can heal us. Only God can heal us. And that's what I just believe, you know. You speak word, prophetic word. And I shared to Nigel, Michael's going to be the rock of your family. Stay close to him. So just last week we've gone, he's spending time with his pastor up in his church, and he's actually going to church now. You know, and I just praise God. But God is good. Amen.
Just praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? See, the loving kindness of God is not just for you, it's for others. And what I'm really excited about that particular testimony is that I'm beginning to see that God is going to use so many of you. And a lot of times I've found in Christianity, we'll look at church life and church ministry as the pinnacle of what we do. No, it's not. This is the expression of who we are in Christ. The greatest work that we do is outside of these walls. It really is. It really is. These times are a gathering that we can testify about the goodness of God and testify about what God is doing in your workplace, what God is doing, you know, if you're a teacher, and how the favor of the Lord is upon your life, and how students are coming and wanting to know about Jesus, and in your workplace where you don't even say anything, and people wanting to know what is different about you. Amen. And you being able to operate in the supernatural gifts of God outside of these walls, and no one sees, and yet people are getting healed, and people's lives are changing. That's the difference. Amen? So, the loving kindness of God from a biblical perspective. I'm going to give you 20 points now. No, just a few points about the description of the loving kindness of God. And my goal this morning is for you to get the foundation of the loving kindness of God. Not, you know, I know you know that God loves you. You know this, right? But to really experience the love of God is different to just knowing the love of God. Okay? So first of all, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. The loving kindness of God is great. Somebody say, great. What that word means, great, in particular here, is that it transcends everything. It's greater than any problem. It's greater than any circumstance. It's greater than your situation. In Nehemiah 9:17, the problem was that Nehemiah comes back and found that the church that he's established after the wall was built, and Israel finally, people in Israel, those that returned, have finally started to set up life back in Jerusalem, and worship was reestablished. He reestablished the priest. He comes back some years later and discovered that the church has fallen apart, that the priests stopped working. They're working out in the fields because the people stopped giving, the people stopped serving, the people have disregarded what God has ordained for the gathering of the people was meant to be. And so Nehemiah begins to address this, and he did all kinds of stuff. And part of the things that he did, I don't know if you remember, when people started intermarrying into people who didn't know the Lord, he ripped their beards and slapped their faces. I mean, that's pastoral care, right? Okay. And listen to this. This is what Nehemiah says. And they refused to obey. Neither were mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But you, O God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and you forsake them not. You see, the loving kindness of God basically keeps God in captive. In loving you, God's chained by His love. That in spite of rebellion, in spite of our sin, in spite of everything else, God just does not stop. And so committed for your freedom, so committed for your breakthrough, so committed for you and your children's children to serve Him. God is committed to that. And despite of the tragedy that we face and see, His loving kindness is great. Amen. His loving kindness is great. Psalm 36:7 says this, how excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. The loving kindness of God is excellent. Somebody say excellent. You know what that means? There's nothing better than it. There's nothing better than experiencing the loving kindness of God. What I've discovered in life is that the loving kindness of God is not determined by my failures. That if I can understand the loving kindness of God, I shared this at Jesus Reigns Ministries in Sydney recently, and as I finished the Bible study, they said, Pastor, it makes sense. That all the tragedies that we experience in life and every failure financially and all the failures in our relationships, through all that, we can see the loving kindness of God. And as I scan across this room and not knowing exactly what's happening in your life, I just know that there are people here that you are almost a product of pain and that you've experienced in your life. I'm not saying that you're necessarily a victim, but you carry within you the wounds and the scars of brokenness. We all do. Through that, we are here today. And God has not changed His mind about us. Come on, somebody. Because of His loving kindness. Can you imagine what would happen to the Church of Jesus Christ if people got a revelation of the loving kindness of God? But even more so, got the revelation that I am God's vessel to show his loving kindness to somebody else. You know what would happen to our world, our community, our neighborhood? In Psalms 17, verse 7 says, show your marvelous loving kindness, O you who saves by your right hand, which for them who put their trust in you and those that rise up against them. The loving kindness of God is the loving kindness that brings deliverance. The word marvelous here actually is pertaining to the idea of somebody being trapped or being pushed in a corner against, and their enemies are around them, and the loving kindness of God intercepts and delivers them from danger. The loving kindness of God is what told you to drive a different route to work, and then you discovered there was an accident on the normal road that you would travel on. And you kind of said, well, that was God that spoke. It's God's loving kindness manifested naturally in a tangible way because he loves you. It's marvelous. Because what it means when it's marvelous, when something marvelous happens, you begin to marvel like the disciples did. When Jesus did it, they marveled, said, we don't understand this. Where is this man from? They marveled. Someone once referred to them that Jesus and the marvelettes. Because that's what they did. Every time Jesus did something, when Jesus went to a town and something happened, they marveled. They've never seen anything like this before. The loving kindness of God is full of surprises, folks. Amen. Because God delights in you. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7. I love this. Again, another situation where the people of God have become rebellious. The people of God have turned from him. And Isaiah says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his kind, loving kindnesses. Somebody say loving kindnesses. You know what that means? It's more than one, folks. That there's this infinite nature of God also has an infinite nature of his loving kindness in every circumstance and every area of your life. And in the midst of great rebellion and apostasy, where people have turned to God against God, Isaiah says, your loving kindnesses, the multitude, the infinite nature of the loving kindness of God. See, for some of us, we limit God to paying our bills or healing our body or making our lives better. But the multitude of the loving kindnesses of God. I know the English doesn't sound right. But God didn't really speak English. Are you with me? You know what would happen if the church gets the revelation of the loving kindness of God? The world can no longer overcome you. Because you will walk in the loving kindness of God despite of the circumstances that you experience. Because you know, in the midst of the hardest places in your life, God's loving kindness never changes. Amen. Amen. And finally, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8 says, in a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness. Somebody say everlasting.
Everlasting.
Will I have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. The loving kindness of God, folks, is everlasting. It's not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. And I want to say this to you, most of all, that it's only through Christ that we truly experience the loving kindness of God. Through Christ, Ephesians 2:7, the scripture I read to you this morning, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. God expressed the greatest expression of his loving kindness when he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I hope that really captures something in your heart this morning, that God just wants to pour his loving kindness in your life, no matter what your circumstances. Amen. And if you're going through some hard times already at the beginning of the year, just hang on in there. God's not done with you. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Father, we just thank you. Let me just pray over you. Father, I just bless every person and every family. And I pray for just a new revelation of your loving kindness in our lives. And the work that you are doing continually, and how you have not given up on us. And that what you have begun, you will complete it. According to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. What you begun, you will finish, Lord. In Jesus, I speak encouragement. I speak strength. I speak courage upon each and every one this day. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Trevor, come up and just tell us.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au, and be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.